from Steven. Who the hell is Brown? You mentioned that Brown had three MVPs at quarterback. Who's that? I went back. I know exactly what you're talking about, Steven. In reading the ESPN breakdown of Lamar Jackson as the fourth-ranked quarterback in the NFL, they wrote, winning a third award would put Jackson on a short list so accomplished that first names aren't necessary. Manning, Rodgers, Brady, Favre, Brown, and Unitas. Well, the Brown is Jim Brown. I guess when I was reading it, I think I added of the quarterbacks that have three MVPs or more. By the way, a Cleveland Brown quarterback, Otto Graham, is a three-time MVP award winner. But no, Jim Brown would be on that list of three-time MVP winners, right? Yeah. Brown won it in the first year, I think, of the Associated Press, won it in the second year of the Associated Press, and then won a third time as well. He won it in 57, 58, and 1965. And then in terms of the other guys that have won at least three, Peyton's got five. And then Rodgers has four. Brady has three. And who's the other player that they listed? Unitas. Unitas has three. So those are the quarterbacks that have at least three are Manning, Rodgers, Brady, Favre, Unitas. The Brown on that list, Steven, was Jim Brown, the only non-QB to have three MVPs. All right. Zach Ertz did an interview with Forbes magazine, and there's a lot of interesting quotes in it. By the way, Zach Ertz, in this write-up of Jaden Daniels finishing fifth on the ESPN head coaches, front office exec, scouts, poll, you know, rankings list, finished fifth, and one NFL coordinator who prepped for Daniels last year, so a defensive coordinator, said, single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, and a dinosaur at tight end, along with an average at best offensive line. Yeah, Zach Ertz is getting up there. He's 35 years old. He's a three-time Pro Bowl tight end, and he had a hell of a year last year. 66 catches, 654 yards, 7 touchdowns. That was his best season since 2019. Of course, many of the seasons in between were injury-riddled. But there are some interesting quotes. Ertz re-signed with Washington, the Forbes story writes, calling the decision, quote, a no-brainer. Why? He said, quote, it was a no-brainer. Honestly, the season that we had, the enjoyment of the process that I was able to experience. This is him re-signing, excuse me. Him re-signing with Washington in this offseason. Sorry about that. Quote, it was a no-brainer. Honestly, the season that we had, the enjoyment of the process that I was able to experience last year in D.C. with Coach Quinn, Adam Peters, was a no-brainer. At this point in my career, I'm not just playing to play the game. I'm playing the game to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level, is loving the process, and doing everything they can to put their players in positions to be successful. The reality of the situation is that's not every team in the NFL. It's remarkable, man, that here we are 2 years after the sale of a team and a Super Bowl winning multi-time Pro Bowl player from a high quality organization, the Philadelphia Eagles, even though there was a stop in between with Arizona, is saying about this organization, Washington, that at this point in my career, I'm not just playing to play the game. I'm playing to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level, is loving the process, doing everything they can to put their players in positions to be successful. The reality of the situation is that's not every team in the NFL. I mean, yeah, the reality of that statement is that you just have to go back two calendar seasons. And the that's not every team in the NFL would have applied to this team. And now this is what he is saying about this team. I'm going to come back to this in a moment. He also says that he's well aware that while the Commanders were one of the top teams in the NFL, that doesn't automatically equal success this year. There will now be a target on Washington's back since they are proven contenders. And he said, quote, "It's an honor and a privilege to be down here with an opportunity to continue to improve, not only as a player, but as a team. For me, I think that's what's exciting. Whatever happened, happened last year, because it's not going to have any impact on this year." God, that is so true in the NFL, right? Except when you have a great quarterback. When you have a great quarterback and that quarterback plays 17 games, you're going to have a really good chance of winning more games than you lose. But does it mean 12-5 next year and two playoff wins? No, it doesn't mean that. See Cincinnati last year. Joe Burrow had one of the best seasons we've seen in a while, and they won 9 games. Ertz also gave credit to Adam Peters, for building Washington into a contender with the right kind of players. He says, "It makes everything enjoyable," quote, enjoyable, because the players make the building, quote, special. It's not any slogan. It's not any saying that you put on a wall. It's the people that you bring in makes the day-to-day enjoyable or not. Adam Peters, the GM, brought in people that truly care about football. It, quote, it was being surrounded with men like that that made my job that much more enjoyable, because that is me to a T. Being back there really was immediate from the moment I got to D.C. I truly love being a Commander. A lot of it had to do with the people of Coach Quinn, the building, the environment that they created, first class," closed quote. There's more here. I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, trying to repeat last year. Nothing that we did last year was going to impact this year. Just because we had a successful season last year doesn't mean we're going to have a successful season this year. That's the beauty about the NFL. When the season starts and when we report for training camp in a few weeks from now or a week and a half from now, no one cares about what happened last year. He said, quote, "Everyone's got optimism. Everyone's got high goals, high hopes, and it's about who's going to improve the most during the year, who's going to improve the most during training camp. You can go out there and be your best on game day. There were 4 or 5 or 6 games where we won games on the last play. Ball bounces 2 or 3 times a different way, and we're looking at a completely different season," closed quote. Let's just see what else is in here. Where's the stuff about Jaden? Yeah. I want to go back to the first part of this, though, because I think this is an interesting conversation off of the conversation that we had a couple of weeks ago where we asked, have we crowned Jaden too quickly? You know, we had an emailer that essentially said, you guys have crowned him too quickly. It's too early to crown him as an elite quarterback. Well, league execs are doing it. League coaches are doing it. League front office people and scouts are doing it. But it doesn't matter. How about the fact that I'm playing the game to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level? The reality of the situation is that that's not every team in the NFL. So I want us to consider something here. We considered the quarterback recently. What about the organization? Now everybody says great things about the organization. Let Adam cook seems to be something I read so often from you guys. Let DQ cook. I mean, the front office, the coaching staff. By the way, I don't disagree. I think right now it's a really good situation from ownership through the entire staff. Front office, I know some of the people in the front office. They're sharp. They're doing a good job. The fact that everybody in that R&D department last year, all of them were on Jaden from the beginning and apparently never had a doubt that he was the guy. And Adam Peters never had a doubt. That's encouraging to know that there wasn't like a lot of debate, that it wasn't like one person that made the decision. They all seem to be on the same page, and it seems to be the high intellect page. But it was one season. It was a season in which, you know, a lot of people have said, hey, man, you know, even Ertz said, couple of those games go the other way. You know, New Orleans catches the two-point conversion with no time left. You know, Devontae Smith catches the third and five for a first down. You know, the jumping off sides on the touchdown, on the game-winning touchdown pass against Philly, the false start that wasn't called, the Hail Mary. We know them all. We know them all. I mean, maybe it's a nine-win season. You know, what if those plays don't go our way? And still a good team, but they end up 9-8 and outside of the postseason. You know, every team that qualified for the postseason last year in the wild card race was 11-6 or better. I mean, you know, it was Minnesota at 14-3, Washington at 12-5, and Green Bay at 11-6. And then you had, those were the, you know, that was, those were seeds 5, 6, and 7 in the NFC playoffs. The other teams were division winners. Yeah, there were a couple of 10-7 division winners, Tampa and the Rams. So the question is at 301-230-0980, have we gotten ahead of our skis on the organization, on the front office, on the coaching staff? You know, Dan Quinn, even though this isn't true, but this was discussed when they hired him, that he was like the fourth or fifth choice. Not true, okay? That wasn't true at all. And people who say that clearly are not in the know and didn't talk to anybody during the process. He was always very much at the top of their list or very near the top of the list. They loved him. They fell in love with him from the beginning. But it's not like Quinn was, you know, guaranteed to get a gig last offseason. It's, you know, the possibility of him returning to Dallas to be the defensive coordinator. And by the way, after that performance against the Packers in the postseason that year, there would have been some prove it to me, even though that defense was pretty good that year. Adam Peters just completed his first year as a general manager. You know, there are still some picks that we're not entirely sure about. Sinnott, right? I mean, Johnny Newton got the most important one right, though, didn't he? He got that one right. Have we crowned the organization too quickly after 1 year? Have we gotten ahead of our skis in saying that all of a sudden this is a top-tier, top-flight organization? I mean, that's a bigger turnaround than the one at quarterback from where it was 2 years ago. I mean, truly the worst NFL organization of the last 20 years up until the end of 2023. And now, a year and a half later, not even, it's one of the best. Zach Ertz says it is. A lot of other people have said it is. A lot of their players say it is. Have we crowned the organization too quickly as top tier? Now, when I say top tier, you know, a list of the top 10 general managers or even the top 10 coaches at this point probably won't include Adam Peters or Dan Quinn, but they're right outside the top 10. They're pushing the top 10. Dan Quinn proved last year he's certainly a top half of the league head coach. I'm sure we'll get a head coach list here that we can look at some point. Maybe top tier isn't it, but are they being crowned as a really good organization too quickly? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Your thoughts, and I'll tell you what Ertz said about Daniels when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Almost forgot about Ben Standing. I thought he was in Vegas through the summer league part. Wizards aren't done yet. He joins us right now. If you're on hold, stay there. I'm still going to ask that question, and we'll take some calls on it. Ben Standig joins us now at Ben Standig on X on Twitter. I don't want to start here, but just think about it a little bit. Zach Ertz had some really nice things in Forbes to say about the organization, like it's, you know, it's one of the better organizations to be with, and, you know, that's quite the change from where it's been. And a few weeks ago, we asked, you know, callers, have we gotten ahead of our skis on Jaden? Have we crowned him too early? And I'm asking that question about the organization. I'll come back to you and ask you that at the end. But real quickly, before we get to football and get to this list that ESPN put out, what was Vegas like, and how are the Wizards going to win the NBA title in 3 years or in 4 years?
Oh, of course. The latter part's very simple. You can just draw the straight line from here to there. I mean, the Wizards, you know, they were one of the more interesting teams to see out there, in that a lot of the players on their summer league team are actually going to be on the regular team, you know, most
right.
teams, maybe like the first round pick or somebody from, you know, one or two guys from last year who, you know, exists. But here, you know, you're looking at three guys that started a lot of games. You know, the new first round pick could easily be in the mix, you know, based on what we could see just over these last couple games. So, it's a straight shot from here to the, 29 NBA title.
How did Trey Johnson look? I thought I saw some of Friday night, a little bit of last night. I thought he looked, you know, ready. But again, the point is, who are they playing? But, you know, you've been to these summer leagues. You've been to this Vegas summer league a lot over the years. Did you find out something that – did you, Johnny Davis, you told me the other day, the thing that you can identify is the guys that actually aren't going to be very good, even this early. But is there anybody that they have that's new that you feel poorly about?
Not in terms of the main guys, you know, some of the, like, Dylan Jones, who they, one of the recent first round picks that got him from OKC. I don't think he even played yesterday. He played a little the other day. And yeah, I'm just saying, like, it's not that he looked terrible. It's just like, you know, he's in this limited role because, again, they have so many guys that, you know, not even guys who've been recent first round picks played a ton. So it's more like that, just like, you know, to be determined. But, you know, I know Alex Starr was miserable in the first game, particularly offensively. Yesterday was much more active from the jump. You know, what did he set a summer league record with 8 blocks?
Yeah. Was that a summer league record? I didn't realize that.
According to the internet, I didn't check Elias myself. And I think the thing with him is we saw a lot of this last year, and the question is, how does he develop? He can definitely shoot. He's got a good feel for the passing game, and he can protect the rim, but he doesn't have much physical play inside at all, particularly on offense. He seems to not have a great feel for, you know, how to get his shots off easily inside. And I'm not saying, I mean, this would be fine if this is the case, but he's kind of reminded me more and more of Jaren Jackson Jr., the Memphis center, kind of all-star, but in that...
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Can shoot, can protect the rim, but doesn't rebound. So it's not that that's necessarily the worst thing, but it's like if they're, you know, reshape expectations, that they still would need, you know, somebody to bang inside. But yeah, I mean, his upside is still there. He just needs to be more consistent with his, aggressiveness on offense in particular. He's really going to make a mark in this league.
All right, did you see the list of quarterbacks that ESPN put out? You know, they do position by position this time of year.
I did see that Jaden was number 5. Beyond that, I have no idea, but I saw Jaden was number 5.
Yeah, so it was Mahomes, Allen, Burrow 3, Jackson 4, and then Jaden was 5. There were some pretty good quotes about Jaden at 5. This was a coordinator that prepared for Daniels last year, so the assumption would be a defensive coordinator. Single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur at tight end, and an average at best offensive line. The kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy and touch to all levels of the field, just as dangerous as Lamar and Josh Allen with his legs, and has a clutch factor to him because his team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number three on this list next year. Behind him was Stafford at 6, Herbert at 7, Goff at 8, Hurts at 9, and Mayfield at 10. So are you okay with him being at 5?
Yeah, I mean, that's been where I've stated it, you know, acknowledging some potential bias based on the fact that he's the guy that I see the most. But, you know, I think the top four, choose your order, but there's a gap after that. And then, yeah, everybody else. I mean, like Stafford, look, obviously Matthew Stafford's career speaks for itself, and as a pure passer, you know, he's probably still ahead of Jaden, but, you know, he's also on the clear back end of his career. You know, injuries are worry for everybody, but with him in particular, it's been a problem. So, yeah, if that's you telling me he was, like, the sixth guy, then, yeah, I can understand where Jaden is 5. And as we've discussed about the idea of being over our skis on his potential or his upside, you know, for this year or whatever, it's just hard to see what's going to be the issue that causes him to, you know, stagnate or take a step back. I'm not saying that he's going to immediately, you know, go from what he just did this year to being MVP of the league, although maybe, but, you know, it's hard to see what does he do wrong? What's the issue that could cause him to go backwards, as we see often with young quarterbacks? And that, you know, doesn't mean they can't, you know, still have a great career. But I mean, you know, after what he did, you'd think, okay, he's going to take a little bit of a step back. I don't know what that's going to look like if it is. So I think to me, 5 makes a lot of sense, even if it is from the outside. I can see people going, okay, hold on. He's better than Jalen Hurts. He's better than, you know, I mentioned Stafford or some of the other guys who've been around. But, yeah, I mean, I think ranking him 5 right now makes sense to me.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. I think the most controversy in terms of the discussion in the aftermath of this list is Jackson at 4, with Burrow and Allen both ahead of him. Mahomes 1, Allen 2, Burrow 3. I honestly don't have a problem with that, and I love Lamar. But that's kind of the order. I think the top 7 is kind of exactly the way I'd have it. What do you make of Jackson at 4?
Yeah, I mean, I understand if people are going to react a certain way. He's, you know, won MVPs and all that, but and his, you know, his mobility and running, and I guess the same with Jaden, makes his floor, you know, very, very high. But as a, you know, pure passer in the pocket, I just don't think, you know, I think Joe Burrow is just off the charts. You know, the Bengals have been inconsistent since they went to the Super Bowl with him a couple of years ago. I would take Mahomes if you said me, you know, who would you take? But, man, I'd be really tempted to take Joe Burrow. I just think he's incredible. And all things being equal, I would rather have him out there than, you know, again, pretty much anybody other than maybe Mahomes or Allen. So, you know, I don't view it as a knock to Lamar. I think they're all the top 4 guys, they're all great. You put them whatever order you want in, I'm not going to scream and yell. But, yeah, I would have Burrow over Lamar myself.
Yeah, I would too, and I love Lamar. And for me, it's just a matter of Allen and Burrow. They don't have Super Bowls either. Burrow's been to the one and lost, obviously, in a very tight game against the Rams in the Super Bowl and Stafford. But they have both been lights out in the postseason in terms of their play, and Lamar hasn't. And Lamar's admitted that he gets tight in playoff games. And I think that's, for me, right now, if Lamar goes on a run here, Lamar is right there with them. Like, if I never saw a playoff game, the eye test would tell me, God, they're so close. These guys are so close. But Lamar's breathtaking. He is, you know, one of the scariest players to try to defend against. I mean, I said earlier, I think he and Tariq Hill are probably the two scariest players to try to defend against. Jaden, by the way, is on that list, and so is Josh Allen, by the way. But for me, I think I go with Allen 2 and Burrow 3, and then Jackson. And I think Daniels, if you told me you can swap Daniels with Burrow or Jackson, I don't think I would do it right now, because those two have shown that they get injured. Jaden hasn't shown that yet, knock on wood. All right. Zach Ertz, in an interview with Forbes, said about the organization and re-signing. He said, "It's a no-brainer. Honestly, the season we had, the enjoyment of the process that I was able to experience last year in D.C. with Coach Quinn, with Adam Peters, was a no-brainer. At this point in my career, I'm not just playing to play the game. I'm playing the game to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level, is loving the process, and doing everything they can to put their players in positions to be successful. The reality of the situation is that's not every team in the NFL," close quote. And this is just a stunning turnaround. Obviously, it had to start with Dan selling the team. We understand that. But for somebody not even 2 years since the sale of the team to say that playing the game to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level, and the reality of the situation is that's not every team in the NFL, and he's talking about this team as the first part of that description and not this team as the second part of it, is an incredible turnaround. But I'm wondering, like I asked with Jaden Daniels, and the answer for me was no on Daniels, have we gotten ahead of our skis as far as the organization goes? Because he's not the only one that's lauded, that's complimented, that's turned Washington into this place where now everybody wants to come to. So what do you say to that? Have we crowned the organization too quickly?
I mean, probably yes, even though we've all witnessed, the remarkable things have turned around. And obviously, the ownership change is major responsibility for that to have occurred. I mean, look, last year you give Peters and Quinn and to whatever degree Josh Harris, all the credit in the world for putting the organization in such good standing that, they were the group that, when breaks went their way, they were ready to take advantage of it, which you wouldn't think would have been plausible in essentially the first real year of this new era. And yet that is what happened. But, on the other hand, there's little to suggest that there would be have been chaos if they were closer to 500. But as we know from a purely record standpoint, they easily could have been much closer to 500, considering how many games came down to the very end and, just other breaks that went their way. But hey, when you're winning, everybody likes what you're doing. And then again, the fact that they do seem to be doing so many of the right things with the types of players they're largely looking to put into the organization, how the ownership group is, trying to spend to make their game day lives, their practice lives a lot easier. So I think all these things go hand in hand. But yeah, it is Jaden, can he play? Is he going to play worse than last year? I don't really know how I see that. We'll see what the organization is, right? I mean, you've got the Terry McLaurin thing happening right now, and you never know what happens if you start the year 1-4. I'm not saying that's the case, but if you start off rough or you have those rough patches, then what? But so far so good. I just might be, the organization covers so many aspects. Maybe we have to give that one a little more time.
Look, I think there's a way to answer it for me. With Jaden, we were talking about, have we crowned him as truly one of the top tier quarterbacks in the league too quickly? I don't think we have been doing that. Like you said before, it's like, I just don't even know where we would say next year, oh my God, thank God he improved in that area. There just isn't any area in which he wasn't high, high level. I think when it comes to the organization, for those, and there are some of you out there saying, the let Adam Peters cook, let DQ cook crowd, where everything they do, you're convinced before you even see it on the field that it's 100% chess over checkers. I think that if we're talking about like Washington's become, like Jaden has, an elite level organization, I would say no to that because I know the organizations right now that are just proven for a longer period of time. One of them's in the division, the Eagles. The Chiefs are one of those. Certainly the Ravens are one of those organizations. You could probably put the Rams into that conversation. The 49ers could be put into that conversation. You know, it's not crazy to say the Packers and the way they've operated is really high level. I think this organization, you know, led by, you know, Adam Peters for sure, you know, on the football side with Lance Newmark and Brandon, you know, Sosna, and, you know, on the other side of the building with Mark Klaus now. I think I need to see it a little bit longer. I think they got the most important thing right, you know, and they had that opportunity because the organization was so bad and the team was so bad the year before. And I think they would have taken Jaden Daniels number one. I really do, had they had the number one pick. I'm convinced, you know, talking to people over the last year, that R&D, analytics, everybody was on board with Jaden Daniels. And when Adam Peters said he was our number one, that he was not fibbing. So they got that right. But without that opportunity, it'd be a far different conversation. We might be saying they're better people, they're doing things smarter than they were, but that's a low bar to clear what they had before. Jaden's made us feel this way about the organization more than anything else, in my opinion. Now, they got it right on him, but it's a million times better than it was. We all understand that. And I think the head coach is top half of the league, maybe closer to 10 than 16. You know, and Adam Peters, I found a list. Adam Peters was ranked 11th on the GM list. It's pretty good after one season. Pretty damn good. But guys like, here were the guys been in front of him. Howie Roseman, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Sean McVay, Les Snead, Eric DaCosta, Gutekunst, Brad Holmes, Shanahan Lynch, McDermott, Brandon Bean, John Schneider, Jason Licht in Tampa. So, anyway, that's the way I would view it. Like, if we're saying that they've become a good organization, that's not ahead of our skis. That's not crowning it. If we're saying elite-level organization, too early.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, look, obviously this season, right, it's the follow-up year. If they go 7-10, I mean, I don't think anybody can sit here and say that that's impossible. You know, again, a lot of things went their way, health, whatever. But it's a tougher schedule this year, as we know. So you'd be like, okay, well, that's not an inconceivable timeline. Maybe it's not the most likely, but it's not inconceivable. And if that's the kind of season that they have based on record, I'm sure there will be questions, you know, about whatever it is. You know, why did Adam Peters make the moves for, you know, the Lattimore, Tunsil, and Debo trio? Or did Dan Quinn, you know, not have as good of a hold in the locker room because, you know, X, Y, and Z happened, too many penalties, or somebody mouthed off? I mean, a myriad of things could happen that could undermine the situation. It's a really, again, there's so much to like. And that's, like you said, it's all pretty positive at this point. But, you know, it's still not enough time has happened. And again, this is the same answer I would give to saying, is the second year quarterback already a top five quarterback? Probably like, well, probably not. But that's the thing with what he did last year. It was that extraordinary that I really don't have an issue with it after 1 year. But for the organization, yeah, I think, you know, you got to give the other teams credit for what they've done, and let's see Washington, you know, be consistent enough to be part of that group.
I did find Warren Sharp put together the rankings of the coaches, and Quinn was 13th on the list, behind, in order, 1, Andy Reid, 2, John Harbaugh, a tie for third between Campbell, McVay, and Sirianni. I'm sorry, I cannot have Sirianni that high. Shanahan was then 6th after the tie for third. O'Connell 7th, LaFleur 8th, McDermott 9th. Tied with Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, then Peyton 11th, Tomlin 12th, and Quinn 13th, one ahead of Bowles. I think Quinn is clearly a top half of the league head coach, and I'd probably have him closer to 10 than 16 on the list. They've got him at 13, or Warren Sharp did. Seems right. All right. What else? Anything on Terry?
No, but I think this is, again, with training camp.
Yeah.
next week, and I don't know everybody's exact itinerary in terms of their vacations, but you know, you would think that people are going to be back this week and not just getting back the day before it starts, the way a lot of us would for work. So, you know, for a regular job. So I imagine that things could get, you know, ramped up a bit this week. What that means, we'll have to wait and see, but it's not, I don't think it's inconceivable, but that by the time you and I talk again, if we're talking on Friday, that maybe there's at least something in the air about what's going on, but I'm not, you know, again, I, you know, until we get to the point where it's really crossed the deadline of like the start of camp, you know, I'm going to remain confident that something gets done, but yeah, this is the week where maybe we start to hear something.
All right. Did you win money or lose money in Vegas?
You know, honestly, I really didn't play much in terms of blackjack. I was there with some friends. It wasn't exactly that type of trip. And there's a lot of other stuff going on, but no, I lost money in terms of you know, overspending, but not so much from the table this time.
All right. Well, hopefully you got out of that champagne lounge before they took it for too much. I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it. Ben Standing, everybody. All right. Phone lines 301-230-0980. Have we gotten ahead of ourselves as far as the way we're describing the organization? Zach Ertz describing it in very high levels. So have others, and in recent weeks. Have we crowned the organization too quickly? You heard my answer. I want to hear yours at 301-230-0980. Before we get to that, I do want to tell you that if you've got any issues with your HVAC, call Foley Mechanical. We had some issues with our HVAC system, and Foley Mechanical was the first call we made. And Dan Foley himself came out and worked, by the way, directly with my wife. That's not always the easiest thing to do, but she knows what she's talking about, and so does Foley Mechanical. She was super impressed. And by the way, Dan Foley, who runs Foley Mechanical, this isn't a corporate chain. This is a business he owns top to bottom. He's involved. His crew is outstanding. They are the experts, especially with older homes with radiator heat, which is rare these days. Foley Mechanical, they cover D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. They proudly install Amana HVAC systems. Trust me, they know what they're doing. If you have any issues with HVAC, call Foley Mechanical.
All right, here's what's happening on July 14th. The 49ers receiver Juwan Jennings is demanding a new contract with the team. Otherwise, he has requested a trade. Jennings is coming off a career year totaling 77 receptions for 975 yards. And he is due to make $7.5 million this year. 1 year removed from the Brandon Ayuk drama, the Niners have found themselves back at the negotiating table. And Wimbledon happened over the weekend. Yannick Sinner foils Alcaraz's three-peat attempt and wins Wimbledon for the first time in his career. And on the women's side, Iga Swiatek wins the women's bracket over Amanda Anisimova and set into a straight set thrashing. Yet last night, the Nats draft Eli Willett's number one overall in the MLB draft. Some other notable picks: Cade Anderson went number 3 to the Seattle Mariners, and Ethan Holliday number 4 to the Colorado Rockies. Last night, the Wizards picked up a win in the Summer League, 102-96 over the Brooklyn Nets. Alex Saar had one hell of a game with 8 total blocks, and Drew Timmy took over for the Nets, totaling over 30 points. And tonight, the Home Run Derby, Ronald Acuna is out due to an injury. Matt Olson will be his replacement. James Wood looks to become the first Washington National to win the Derby since Juan Soto did it in 2022. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1, and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
So a few weeks ago, we asked the question, have we crowned, or an emailer did, have we crowned Jaden Daniels too quickly? What about the organization? Zach Ertz saying very nice things about the organization that he just re-signed with, saying that I'm not just playing to play the game, I'm playing the game to be a part of an organization that is competing at a high level. The reality of the situation is that that's not what every team in the NFL does. And that used to be our team, for sure, that we were not thought of very highly. We were avoided like the plague unless there was no choice, or unless Dan decided to just completely overpay said player or said coach. But now it apparently is. It's a high-quality organization. Look, this is not the same conversation that we had about Jaden Daniels, in my opinion. Jaden Daniels we're talking about as an elite level quarterback, you know, number five in the rankings put out by ESPN today based on the polling of coaches, front office execs, and league scouts. Washington's organization has a lot more to prove, in my opinion. They've done a lot of good things, on and off the field, by the way, both. But in terms of putting them at the elite level of organizations, not yet. Not yet. So from that standpoint, we may have crowned them a bit too early, if that's how you're crowning them, like as the best or top five organizations in the sport. But I'll tell you what, man, they made a jump from the bottom to certainly, you know, something approaching top. They're certainly in the top half of the league of organizations. That's for sure. And we're never there for 24 years. Let's start with our guy Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, go ahead.
Kevin, hey, I don't think we're crowning them too early, brother. I know it's early, and all those teams that you just mentioned on your last segment, they're going to get to that level, okay, because they've got good people. And everything good, whatever you do, my business, it starts at the top, Kevin. We've had you and I have had this conversation numerous times over the years because we had bad stuff going on the top, yeah. And it just trickled down to the locker room, to the field. So, Kevin, we got great people, man. I mean, this Mark Klaus dude, this new president we got, we hired him. He come from Campbell Snacks. That's in my business, okay? We buy a lot of product. I had people coming to me at some of these shows and said, you're not going to believe how good a guy this guy is. Well, Kevin, we're putting good people around where we need to have them at.
Yeah.
And we still have to prove ourselves, but we're going to get to that level. And that's the most exciting thing for me, Kevin. We just want to be consistent every year. You know what I'm saying? To put a good product on the field year after year after year. Not have every 10 years have a good run. You know, we want to be consistent like all those other teams. So,
Bobby, your phone's breaking up a bit, so I'm going to let you run. But thanks for the call. Yeah, what you said, too, and I should have emphasized this. Again, it was a low bar to clear. They have sailed over that bar. What we do know through not even 2 years yet of this new ownership group is that we have good people who are competent. You know, that is a start. Not every organization has that. Obviously, we had bad people who were incompetent for a long period of time. And there seems to be a sense of humility as well, which I like. And I also like the way in which, you know, they operate. Adam Peters in particular, he doesn't give you much at all. And look, he comes from good stock, that's for sure, in terms of the organization that he came from. I think it's, you know, all arrows pointed in the up direction. I can't put him in the elite level of organizations right now. You know, they 2-1 in the postseason. That's nice. 12 wins. That's great. Need a little bit more of a resume built up there, but I do like almost everything so far. Mark in Largo. Mark, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin.
What's up, Mark?
Not yet. I'm doing fine. I wouldn't put the organization up there yet. However, for some strange reason, I feel this year could be like 82. And the reason why I say that is because we saw it in 81 when they went on 1-5, then they went 8-3 going down the stretch. And they turned it around. They did it, and I could see that happening again. I think the bigger thing here is for Washington to understand is, even though they are the oldest team in the league, they are drafting for the future and trying to get players in to make everything better. I love Jalen Lane.
Well, they only had 5 picks this year. Remember, they traded away a lot of picks this year and next.
They sure did.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. But I think
they're going
for it. Their offensive line is going to be the best, and I think they're going to be fine. And I think they're gonna show some things up, and everything is gonna work to their advantage and go from that point. I do think that this team is on the right path and on how they want to do things. And I just think that I think if they could take it to that next step that they were at this year and go to that next step, I mean this year than it was last year, where they can be in Santa Clara and they win it, then you could say we still have a ways to go.
Yeah. Next year we'll be talking about Jaden as a top two or three quarterback in the organization as being top five.
If he wins the Super Bowl this year, he'd be the number one quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah. Well, I think he's the number one quarterback in the NFC already.
The four quarterbacks
ahead of him, I should have pointed that out, are all AFC quarterbacks, even though we pointed that out before.
In the NFC.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Mark. I got to move on. I want to get some other guys in. Let's go to Reggie in D.C. Reggie, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Love your show, man.
Thanks, Reggie.
I think for me, man, I think it is elite. And Kevin, you and I, you know, all the fans who listen to the show, and I say elite, that we're not giving them enough credit because, Kevin, how bad it was. I'm not talking about getting to a bar of four wins or seven wins where you air quote show progression. It was so bad. And again, think about Dan Quinn. Elite, absolutely, because I don't know if Ben Johnson, from a culture perspective, could have did what Dan Quinn has done. Because remember, coming in, you had to erase everything from the stud. You had to build it from the ground. So Dan Quinn was, I mean, perfect in building the culture. And the rookie head coach got so much on their plate that I'm not sure McDonald or Ben Johnson could have done that.
Well, Johnson, it turns out, wasn't available. He didn't want to be a head coach last year. But, yes, I agree with you, and I think that's what they were looking for. They were looking for that experience and that culture guy and could attract other people that would emphasize the importance of culture change. No doubt.
Absolutely. And I think, again, when you're talking about kind of elite, look at the baseline of where they started, and then now we can play hindsight. Look at where they ended. That takes elite. That's elite. That's not luck. You don't just, you know, luck into getting to one game away from the Super Bowl. So, again, you mentioned some organizations, and I went kind of off the top of my head, and you're kind of right. They're not, like, above those guys, but another good season.
Sure.
Again, you're right. You got to build in that equity, but – golly, Kevin, it's not a lot that could do what these cats did in 1 year with the mess that we have dealt with. It's not that many.
The culture thing was so much harder because that was attainable. The quarterback thing, you needed some good fortune. You needed him to be there. You needed to have number two in the right year. But you needed to get it right also. Reggie, thanks. For all of you on hold, sorry, we're out of time. We'll come back to this maybe tomorrow, but appreciate you jumping on. Chris Russell is next.